Welcome to the official BKB podcast, and delighted to talk to two-weight world champion Dan Podmore. Poddy, how are we doing?
I'm good, mate. I'm good.
You're looking. That beard's getting bigger, son, I've got to say.
Nice. I'm keeping it quite nice and trim, you know, to be honest. Keeping it nice and trim. I mean, it's just because it's the black background. I'm in my jumper as well.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. Now, so much to talk about, but just quickly first, let's get straight on to you're going to be defending your world title in Thailand on the hotel roof, four places, against Randall Raymond. What do you know about your opponent?
I don't know too much about him. I know he's had some pro boxing experience. He's 9-5 as a pro boxer. I know he fought Paul Gallen, that New Zealander rugby star. I know he's 13-2 as a MMA guy. So he's a legitimate opponent. So I'm sure he'll be ready to fight on the fight night.
Let's be fair. You haven't had many easy ones, have you?
No, of course not. It's I wouldn't expect to either. You know what I mean? It's like there's no point fighting if you know if it's going to be a doddle. You know what I mean? You don't take fights that you know you're going to win. You know what I mean? I'm not like some of these guys out there that the one a padded record. You know what I mean? I'll fight the toughest and the hardest. You know what I mean? And we'll see who's the toughest and we'll see who's the best. You know what I mean? So
you can look in the mirror though and think legitimate.
Oh yeah, of course. I think I've proved that every time I fought. To be fair, it's especially after the last one. You know, my mental state wasn't the best.
He's a tough guy, Ryan Barrett.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's we've sparred for the last 2 years, so we knew what we was both coming in. But obviously, I had a bit of personal problems and stuff like that coming up to the fight, which sort of like took me off my game, sort of thing. So yes, I wasn't.
It looked like that in the first round. Didn't he? Forgive me if I've got this wrong. Didn't he put you down?
He had you
in trouble in the first round.
Yeah, he won me. Yeah, my legs went in the first round, yeah. So,
but what a comeback from yourself.
Yeah, it's like I say, it takes something special to get me out of there, Tom. You know what I mean? I'm adamant by saying, I've got one of the best chins, if not the best chin in the business.
Yeah.
Shots all day, you know what I mean? Even after the point where he did it, man, he did rock me, he still hit me quite flush a few times after, and I was still saying, come on, let's go. You know what I mean? So,
That does not put your opponent off, when he gives one of his best shots and you're still standing and looking at him,
Yeah, of course, it's going to dishearten anybody, isn't it? So
let's before we get on to some of the fights you've had, BKB, let's go way back. Firstly, how did you, as a kid, what was life like in Brum, Bartley Green area as a kid? Were you going to be a boxer? Were you just a Looney Tune? What were you like as a kid?
I was quite a little kid, to be fair, Tom. I was young. I was a little dot, weren't very big at all. I hanged around with a couple of the older lot, all the older lads. I tried to be like the older lad. Yeah. And it comes to a point where these guys, there was to take the piss and stuff like that. And they bullied me quite a lot. I got bullied quite a lot when I was younger. And they pushed me to the point where, I was about 6 or 7, 8, and they pushed me back to they pushed me past like the point of no return. So they wound me up and I'd lift flip the lid then, and I'd fucking come at them like with a rake and stuff. So there was all about 5, 6, 16-year-olds, and I was about 7 or 8, and I beat the shit out of them with a rake. So, and it was past that point now. I thought, I'm just gonna stop giving a shit, So anybody wanted to have a scrap then, I'd just go in on them, to be fair. So I was sick of being, pushed around as a little kid.
When did you decide, right, let me get in the ring, and because I think I can do this? How did that come about? When did you decide that?
I always knew I could have like a scrap since I was young, since like that point in my life. In the ring, I've never thought really. It was like when I was growing up, I'd be in and out of the boxing gyms, And I lacked the discipline, Tom, in all fairness. I just didn't want to commit to anything, and I'd go in there and I had no discipline and I had no technique and stuff like that. So I just blacked the bags and stuff like that. So it was only when it come to a point where I found MMA that I started to take part in MMA, and I was doing the MMA with a couple of the top guys. I used to train with the UFC champion Lee Edwards, down in UTC, and I didn't. This was years and years and years ago. We always just trained MMA, loads of MMA. And then I started off wanting to get a bit competitive then. But as I was training, I popped my bicep, I tore the tendon on my bicep, which I've carried on training for it. So, and then I had 6 months later, the hospital phone about a couple of days before, so a Muay Thai fight. So I had to cancel that then. So I was a bit devastated about that, because I was becoming quite a handy MMA star sort of thing, a good MMA guy. But then obviously I had to do the rehab and stuff like that for my bicep, and I thought, well, boxing was more readily available and it paid the most. So I started getting back into the gym for the boxing. Then I started taking part in some ultra white collar boxing events. And that's where it started to take a sort of thing.
So you became, I mean, I know you had a lot of fights, didn't you? Was it two around 200 fights, didn't you? Which,
If I was to take a wild guess, because it'd be more over 200 fights. Yeah, I'd say between 200 and 250 fights.
that's a lot of fights. Were you, but I'm not being disrespectful now, but did you just get in the ring and fight? Were you one of those? There was no training camps or anything. Did you just get in and fight?
At the start of my career, Tom, it was I was training hard. I think I must have had about 30 fights, and I think I lost about two fights, and I was like dodgy decisions. You know what I mean? So, but then no, the phone stopped ringing. So, I wanted to fight. I had like a good reputation on the circuit. No one wanted to fight. So, I'd sell tickets every couple of months. Pick up like a 1,000, 1,500 quid purse. So one of my pals that was a journeyman at the time, he said to me, he'd get me 1,500 quid probably each week if I was prepared to take the losses. You know what I mean? So I says, okay. Well, I said,
So you
I've
were
always
paid
believed
to,
it.
is that you were paid to lose?
Yes, like being a journeyman, yes.
Well, they wanted their big ticket sellers to win.
Yeah, of course, yeah. It's everyone knows that, ticket sellers that were well looked after, whether it's white collar or in the pros, you know what I mean? That's just the sport's built on journeyman. And I ended up being that journeyman. So I'd take fights and they'd say, right then, this one, we tried to build him up. He's 10 and 0, don't knock him out. I'd give him a go, but don't knock him out. So I'd be like, okay then. So then I'd, in this sort of lot of respect, I'd give him like the two rounds, three rounds, and then I'd go after it in the third or the fourth, you know what I mean? And I'd make him know then I was there ready and I could have took him out at any time. But at that point then, it was because I wasn't like competitively fighting. I stopped there. I started to less train less, and I was using the fights as like a sort of like a way to keep fit and my training sort of thing. So I'd fight twice on a Friday, twice on a Saturday, and once on a Sunday every week.
Two,
You
four,
know what I
two,
mean?
two, two, twice in a day.
Yeah. So I could be in Coventry at 7 o'clock on a Friday night, and then I'd get a phone call and say, "Can you be in at 11?" I'd be like, "Yes, I'll be there." So,
Amazing.
and I got a reputation of the good reputation of someone that would be there 100%. You know what I mean? So, want me
How
on their show?
did
My
that
phone
sit
would
with
non-stop
you?
ring.
How did that sit with you? Because I'm not being rude, you're an opponent. That's what you became, an opponent. You wanted to be an, how did
Yeah.
that sit with you? Because that doesn't seem to sit with you.
It's well back in back then, Tom, I was more interested in going on and having nice stuff and stuff like that. So the money, it was more about the money for me. And if someone was going to pay me that little bit extra to take a knee or something like that, which it didn't really bother me, because back then I thought records are for DJs, so I didn't really think. I thought, let's just see how much money we can make. And I never in my life did I ever think that I was going to hit 200 fights, even 100 fights, but 2, 3, 4 years later down the line, I was well, you know what I mean? So yeah, so
Yeah.
it's I don't regret it, you know what I mean? It's all like a learning curve, you know. I mean, I've come up against all sort of like fighting styles, and not once was I hurt really, that, but you know, really badly, and like the amount of fights I've had, you know, I've had a couple of broken ribs and stuff like that, and, you know, and I've had a broken nose, but I've never ever, well, then I broke my leg the once on myself for taking a dive, but no, look, I've never been hurt. No
Yeah.
one's actually stopped me in a fight. You know what I mean? So I took all these opponents on, and I've realised that no one had nothing for me, to be fair. No one was dangerous enough to take it. So
Crazy
this is
that.
why I wouldn't be bothered about who was.
I'm just looking. I remember your first fight, Mickey Parker, the Echo Arena. And obviously, I
Yeah.
was taking a lot of interest because you're a Brummie like myself. I thought, well,
Yeah.
and I thought, I'm being truthful with you because I always, you know, us Brummies, we talk straight. I've looked and I've thought, what is he doing here? You
Yeah.
weren't in good
Well,
nick. You.
I heard it on the commentary, Tommy said these guys don't do a lot of road running, you can tell. Yeah.
But it's like, and I've thought, and then I think I can't remember your second fight, Paul Taylor, was it you hit him when he was down? And I thought,
Yeah.
what, this guy's no good for, and I'm being true, no good for us. And I thought,
Yeah.
what? And it hurt me because you're a Brummie, and I love,
Yeah.
you know, we had Ricky Nelder, and oh, you know, I thought we got another Brummie coming in and we can take over this sport. And I was really, really disappointed. And then I think, I'm just trying to work out. I'm just looking now. It was like you were out for a year or so, weren't you?
Yeah,
Before
it's quite a,
Josh Burns.
yeah, living the life again when I was just doing all the journeyman stuff, and I was getting all the money, and I was going on like holiday. I'd be on holidays like every couple of weeks, you know what I mean?
Just
So
going away.
yeah, so then it just so happened then that the gym phoned me as I was getting off the plane from Turkey to after a 2 week piss up with my pal. They said, "Do you want to fight Josh Burns?" I was like, oh, you know, this guy, he was good, you know what I mean? He was well up there. He'd fought for the title and stuff like that. I thought, oh, well, I've just spent a load of dough. So, do I put some back? So they told me how much they was going to pay. I says, "Yeah, f it, why not? I'm going to go out, get some money back." And then, obviously, we all went down together. Then it was me, Connor, and John Hick. We
That's
all
right.
went down there. And I now seen the car. Oh shit, what am I going to do, man? I said, "I haven't tried anything like that." I says, "I'm going to get me kicked in." He says, "Well, no." Nah. Connor was like, "Nah, you should be all right." I said, "Oh, I'm just going to take the money. I'm just going to go down and I'm going to take the money." But as soon as like, you know, we started doing the weighing and stuff like that, and I was sizing him up then. I was like, this guy's not really not that big. You know what I mean? I said, he's not really that big to me. You know what I mean? So I said, we're gonna have a go. Fuck it. So then I heard him going like hell for leather in the back doing on the pads.
Yeah.
And I thought, this guy can't last 3 rounds with me. No way. So then I was kind of like put me onto his corner man then. He says, Dave Clark, he was trying to warm me up in the back. He says, "No, just take it nice and easy. Take it nice and easy. Listen to him. He's going to be blowing. Trust me." So I was like, "Okay." You know what I mean? And then, obviously, that's what happened. He couldn't keep up the pace that he sets.
TKO, you won in
And
style, to be fair.
yeah, well, I was, to be fair, you know, but then again, it was midway through the fight. You know what I mean? The tide sort of turned, and I knew that he turned. Then you know what I mean? I thought, "Yes, this is mine. I'm having it. I'm getting." Again, the killer instinct just kicked in. You know what I mean? So, and there was no feeling like it. I thought, you know, I need this again. I need it. You know, in front of the O2 as well. Was it the O2? I think it was the O2 as well. Yeah, it was.
That was the O2, yes.
Yeah. So the crowd was all going mad. I was like, yeah, I want this again. You know what I mean? So then I think that was the turning point in my career. Then I thought, yeah, I could get used to the cheers and stuff like that. So.
And we've gradually seen you know, you've been winning because I think you've won five on the spin, I think, including
Yep.
two world titles.
Five stoppages.
But when five stoppages, correct. And gradually, I've seen you go from somebody who's come off the plane into the ring after being on holiday. I've seen you come from that into a professional-looking fighter because you enter the ring now and you're in great shape. You're ready. You can go 10 rounds if you want. And that has been a massive difference for me. And at your fittest and great shape, there ain't many going to live with you.
Well, I used to train with a lot of like pro trainers back in the day as well, Tom. You know, when I was doing a lot of the journeyman stuff, he says, you know what, if you was actually got trained and you'd learned how to, you know, learned a bit of technique and stuff like that, and you learned how to box, he said, no one would stop you. No one would beat you. So I was like, yeah. I don't want to live the lifestyle. I was just lazy. But then it just so happened to turn out that way. You know what I mean? So I've got myself a good trainer, Simon. You know, we've gelled, we're good. We've got a good friendship with that now, and he's shown me the way, sort of thing. So,
Has Simon had a big impact on you at his gym?
what was that? Sorry.
Has Simon had a big impact on you in his gym?
Oh yeah, of course, 100%. It's like it's obviously without Simon, there would be no BKB heavyweight champion or cruiserweight champion. So he's just as much to we can credit him as just as much as you can credit me. So he puts in the hard work as much as I do. So
So
it's
tell me
yeah, he would be
that light bulb moment after beating Josh Burns, and that was the
yeah.
light bulb moment for you. You went on. Did you ever expect even then, though, to be a two-weight world champion?
You know what? I thought, you know, when I beat Josh Burns, I thought, you know what? I think I could get about at least a British. I thought, at least I get a British belt out of this, 100%. And then it happened. And I thought, right, what's the next step? I'm going to go for the world. I was a bit gutted, obviously, because I wanted to fight Dorian Dartch. I wanted to fight him. Yeah, just shut his mouth. Yeah, because he had a lot to say, that guy. Like I said, you know, he was talking about how my arsehole went and this, that, and the other. But my arsehole goal don't go for no man. No man born from his mother. You know, I'm no scared of no man. So I wanted to shut him up and just, you know, put that to bed. You know what I mean? It just happened. I got injured. You know what I mean? So, but then again,
These
we went on
things
to.
happen, though, don't they? These things happen in glove boxing, BK, they
Oh,
happen, injuries happen.
that's what I mean. But then obviously Jody stepped in. Jody beat him, which obviously they're not beat Jody. You know, then Brian went in with Dorian, and then Brian beat him. You know, it just shows you the caliber. You know, it's yeah. So
The quality is
after
good,
that,
isn't it?
of course, yeah. So after I won the heavyweight title, I thought, you know what, the weights keeps it's getting lower and lower. The weight is. So I said, let's have a try of a crack at the. So I wanted Mickey Parker. I wanted to, you know, my only lot sort of thing. So, yeah. So we went with Mickey Parker, but then obviously he was umming and ahhing whether he wanted to retire. So, and he retired. So we have to give all props to Mick and that. So, you know, he had a yeah. You know I mean? But to be, I wouldn't have wanted to get into there if you know if Mickey if he was just about to. I wouldn't have wanted to get in there with me either. You know what I mean? Because I was a hungry lion, you know what I mean? I'm ready to beat any man, especially to avenge a loss. It's I wouldn't have got you know myself either, but
Are
it's yeah.
you,
But
can I ask you, are you, do you feel happier at heavy or cruiser?
well, I'm riding about in at the minute. I'm in between, Tom. I thought we'd go for the heavyweight title in Thailand, and I think we was more closer to the cruiserweight limit. So I thought by the time we get over there and we're training twice a day and stuff like that when we're over there, I said, well, I'm going to be more closer to the cruiserweight limit anyway. So we've decided to go for the cruiserweight defense this time. So we're going for cruiser. But I don't know. I think because the weight cut wasn't a hard thing for me. But felt that I could, you know, if I was taking them shots at heavyweights, I would have took them a bit better. But now I'm more settled into the lighter weight, and I'm getting stronger. You know, my body shape's all it looks better. Everything looks better. I think I'm settling into the weight a bit more. You know what I mean? So go back up to heavyweight. You know, a few, you know, hard strength sessions will do that for me. You know what I mean? I'll put muscle on quite easily. So,
What
but.
it, tell us what as I mean, I know some of the things you did. Did you do so, did you take part in that charity 50 rounds of sparring for the NHS?
Yeah, I did that with Dexter. Yeah, I
Dexter,
did.
yeah, Dexter Hastings.
Yeah, I did a few rounds of him. Yeah. That was a fair play to him. He got through all 50 rounds.
Crazy,
I think
crazy.
I was more the later rounds as well. I was as well. So poor
It was all for
bugger.
a good cause, I suppose,
Yeah,
which is
yeah.
so what has it meant to you? I mean, I know that you credited BKB for helping you buy your house, you know, which.
Well, I've not bought it just yet. But it will be. That is the agenda, and
Right.
obviously, without not going to be possible. So it's well on the agenda. So, like I said, the money for me is going up and up. So,
You see,
I can't thank BKB enough for what they're doing for me, to be fair.
you seem to have settled down as a man, you know, family man, home. You seem to have settled down. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, I'll say when we was all little toe rags when we was younger, you know what I mean? And I was probably a bit more so than others, you know what I mean? So I could have, I went down the wrong path, but I've managed to claw it back and I've turned my life around, sort of thing. So, yeah, and that's all down to just discipline and fighting and stuff like that. So it's all gonna.
You sort of touched on it there about BKB. A lot of people have a lot to be grateful for BKB, but it seems it's genuinely turned your life around to in a good sense.
Oh yeah, of course. I'm not very good when I haven't got something to work towards, you know what I mean? I tend to get bored quite easily and stuff like that. So me sticking in the gym and having work towards and stuff like that. It keeps me on the straight and narrow, so which is the best thing for me. I don't make stupid decisions and stuff like that. So I've got people that are guiding me in the right path. So now I'm like a role model as well. So I have to keep like a certain amount of responsibility as well as a professional athlete. So all the drinking and all the naughtiness is all like stopped in that now time. Yeah, all the silly behavior. It's all I'm just a I'm a normal boring man now.
It is though, because of BKB and its worldwide fame, you are not just a role model, but you are somebody people now know who you are. People know who you are. The fight fans look up to you. You know, around the world, people know who Dan Podmore is. That's a massive step in your life from the lunatic that used to be.
Yeah, of course. I've been all around the globe, and I've had people calling my name. I've had it in Africa. Someone recognised me in Africa. Someone recognised me in Turkey. Someone recognised me in Greece. Someone
That's
recognised me in Benidorm. So I've gone all around the country as well. I was at Cheshire Oaks shopping, designer outlet. I'd had a few guys saying, "Oh, guys, Dan Podmore, can I have that?" So yeah,
brilliant.
it's all a bit strange for me, but it's all nice at the same time.
It's nice to be recognised by normal people and not just the police, I suppose, isn't it, in many ways?
Exactly. Recognized for sort of the achievements that I've made,
The
so it's
achievements,
more than
exactly.
yeah.
And the one thing about BKB I've learned since I've been in it since 2015, nothing comes easy in BKB. If you've got a title in BKB, you've earned it.
Of course, yeah. It's I've worked my way up, and I've gone the hard way. I've done it the hard way as well. So you know what I mean? So I've actually earned it. You know what I mean? So where I am now, I've actually earned my spot. So I'm proud of what I've achieved, and
What
out
next?
of
What
where
now,
I am.
though, for you? What are your aims now? Because you've already said you need something to aim for. What do you aim for now? Keeping hold of the belts? What do you aim for?
Obviously, we're going to defend this cruiserweight title. Obviously, that goes to plan. I want to defend the heavyweight title. Obviously, I've got a bit of a something to prove with some another guy, one of the guys that are coming up now. So, and then possibly, if my body lets me, I want I want to add another bout somewhere down the line. I want to maybe come back and give please or a Hall of Fame bout or a BYB bout. No, I don't
You
want another
fancy, do you
couple of
fancy
bouts
that
in the future.
fighting in America? Do you fancy going to America and fighting?
That's not hard. I don't mind if America allow me. I'll go over and I'll do my best. Obviously, I wanted to fight Tony Lopez, who was the champion, but then he's just been beaten. So I'm happy to fight anybody, Tom. You know what I mean? If there's something on the line, you know what I mean? That's gonna add to the legacy. You know what I mean? Because that's all I'm about now. I'm about the legacy. I want to cement
Legacy.
my legacy as one of the best fighters ever. You know what I mean? So.
You know, when you are the world heavyweight champion, the world cruiserweight champion, you're the one
Yeah.
everybody wants to knock off that perch. We do that well in this country. We like people to get to the top, and then we can't wait for them to be knocked off the perch. So everybody wants to, or scalp, don't they?
Course I do. It's, you know, there's a lot of we're in a competitive sport, you know what I mean? And we're you know, there's a lot of hunger coming up into the sport as well. You know, it's just a natural thing, you know. People want to be at the top. It's just whether have they got it? Have they got what it takes to be the champion? You know what I mean? Because I know that I've got what it takes. So,
What does it take? What does it take?
hard work. It takes hard work, graft. Yeah. Just because you're champ doesn't mean, it stops there. You have to even work even better. You know what I mean? I can outwork some of these guys tenfold. You know what I mean? I put the work in now, Tom. Like I never have done before. You know what I mean? So,
Ability is never
and
enough, is it? Ability is never enough on its own. Hard work has to be the platform.
that's what's the saying? Is it hard work will beat talent if talent doesn't work hard?
100%.
Yeah, and
100%.
I believe that wholeheartedly.
I
Now,
mean,
some guys that I shouldn't have beaten,
you are
but I
doing the
have.
road work now, aren't you?
I've got my goals down to quite a low time as well, so 7.5 minutes for a mile for a big
Wow.
dude. That's quite. That's
That's
quite
good.
good.
Very
Yeah,
good.
man.
So just to finalize it, you're off on the 13th of January to
Yeah.
Thailand.
Yeah.
Does that pose any problems fighting in the heat and stuff like that? Have you thought about that? Have you any plans? You don't know too much about your opponent, but you'll be prepared, won't you?
We're preparing as best as we can. I think it's going to be, a bit of a difficult one to start off with as we get into Thailand, but we're gonna have to try, we're gonna have to aim over the climb and stuff. But I'm sure by fight night, mate, we're gonna be ready. Obviously, I'm always ready. We're always ready to go. Me and Simon always put a plan together. We haven't lost yet, have we? So we don't plan on losing anytime soon.
So as far as you're concerned,
Tom,
BKB is the
so
place for you, and bring anybody on, you're ready.
exactly, yeah.
Finally, Birmingham's done well with the bare knuckle boxers. You
Of
know,
course.
have you seen any in the gym that you think he might do this? You know, we had the young lad from Warsaw, Smith, Smudger Smith, Scrap King, who did ever so well. We've got local fighters coming through. Have you seen any that you think he could do a job in BKB?
We've got a fair few fighters down the gym now. We've got a little stable we're collecting together. There's some good guys coming through. You know what I mean? Obviously, then you got me, the logs of me, and you got the logs of Connor and stuff like that, and John down there. So we still see I still see Trez from time to time as well.
Good lad, Trez. Yeah, like everything in life, mate, it all moves on. And there are always
Course it
young,
does. Yeah, of course it does.
young up and coming fighters looking, thinking, I want that Podmore. You know what I mean? That's life, isn't it? That's what happens.
Let him come get it, Tom. Let him try come get it. I'm ready.
It. I love it. Listen, pal, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I shall look forward to seeing you soon. Once again, though, folks, he's been absolutely amazing talking to us and, typical Brummie, right from the shoulder, no messing. It's BKB's official podcast. If you've liked what you've heard, leave us a review. We love hearing your reviews, what you like, what you don't like, and we'll always try and put it right. Dan, thanks for being with us, mate. Top man.
No problem, Tom. It's my pleasure.